Here we go.
Listeners, and welcome to Black Talk. My name is Michelle Simpson. Just a reminder for those of you who may be new to Black Talk, Black Talk is a co-creation of the NAACP Boulder County and KGNU. Black Talk centers Black voices, Black thought, and Black vision. And today, vision is the operative word. Today, we're going to be speaking to who I consider to be one of Boulder's primary visionaries, Katrina Miller. So, Katrina, are you comfortable with me introducing you to KGNU listeners as the head, heart, and soul, of course, of Black Cat Video Productions?
Absolutely.
Okay. So to start, just to kind of set the table a bit, you received your journalism degree from CU Boulder, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So tell us, when did you decide to take your skills and talents to video production?
Well, video production has always been the goal. In high school, I was fortunate enough to have a video production course offered. Mm-hmm. And I'd never taken in any video production before, but once I got into the class, very quickly, it became something that was really easy for me to do because I had a passion for it, filming, editing, creating stories, getting people to talk on camera. It was all very exciting. And when it was time to look for a college, I actually chose CU Boulder because at the time, and this is around the year 2000, it was the best journalism program in the area. So I'm being as competitive as I am academically and whatnot, I thought that it would be a place for me to excel. So that's why I chose video production.
Okay. Do you remember the first piece you produced?
Yeah. So the great thing about being in video production in Boulder is that there's just a lot of people that are very creative here and who have paved a way and are willing to share information with you and to help you and mentor you. And I had one of those professors at CU that taught my documentary class. And it was my second to last semester at CU, and he was pushing us all to really make a documentary about something that really was important to us. And we dug deep, probably for a couple months, like, what is it that is important to you? And what do you want to say about it? And the question that I always had had, coming from a little town called Whitefield, Colorado, where a lot of the military and Air Force community lived, it was just very diverse. I'm talking about all types of ethnicities, all types of people. So when I came to Boulder, it was strange. It was a culture shock that it took days for me to run into another Black person. So the question was, why are there so few Black people in Boulder? And mm-hmm. that was the question. I named the documentary Blacklash, which I still think is a great name. Yeah, thank you. It actually turned out to be a really great documentary. I remember getting a standing ovation from my class and the teacher. What had ended up happening that really made me want to make this documentary, not only did I feel isolated, at Boulder as a Black female, but also the student body president at that time was a friend of mine, and she had received some hate mail, racist fueled hate mail. It made national news, and I knew her personally, and it really got to me. And so this was something that I wanted to expose. I wanted everybody to know that this happened to her. bring this awareness so that people know this racism, it's not dead. This isn't, you know, this perfect campus. These things happen. What are we going to do about it?
Right.
Because I was amazed at how many people who are on that campus didn't even know that we had her as our student body president and didn't even know about this incident. So it was my goal to let people know, to give her even more of a voice and hopefully to make some change. So that was one of the first projects I ever worked on. And it really started this passion in trying to tell stories and help people to see things that maybe they don't see on the surface for whatever reason.
You know, it's been said that Black storytelling represents our roots and wings. And so I wanted to ask you, how is your eye, how is your storytelling, Katrina, different from your white filmmaking counterparts, if you feel it is? How is your focus and sensibility different?
When I first started my business, I didn't get to start doing really fun films and passion projects. I was really trying to work to build a professional portfolio to do corporate type video, product service videos and whatnot. And knowing in the back of my head that I wanted to make more meaningful work about what was going on in society. But what I was able to do on every project is to make sure that there was ethnic diversity in every project. I'm going to make sure that I'm including a clip of an African-American person, an Asian person and whatnot. I think that there are some people who would have to be told to do that or directed to do that. But me, it's just a natural place I go to give representation to people who aren't always seen. And that's something I'm hyper aware of that I don't believe a lot of other filmmakers may be who are not people of color. Mm-hmm. The other, another way that I feel like my filmmaking is a little different is I did this video called New Me with Pedro Silva. And it was a music video that showed clips of the protests that happened on Pearl Street in Boulder.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. With the George Floyd, for mm-hmm. George Floyd. And when I got there to that rally, I was just going to take a couple of pictures. But when I looked around, I saw that there were no Black journalists or reporters or anybody who looked like me to tell this story. And I thought, if I want this story to be told about what happened here today and to be told the right way, then I'm gonna have to tell it, okay? And I've seen a few pieces come out of that event, but my film had more of the Black community in it.
Right.
You know, and it had our music in it. And it's just the access I have to our community because I am of this community. You know, it wasn't a big thing for me to call my friend Pedro, hey, can I use your song?
Exactly.
You know,
it reminds me of a recent conversation I had with Annette James, who's president of the Boulder County NAACP. And there were been several events, especially around the MLK celebration and holiday. And a number of reporters, local Boulder-based reporters, had covered, again, some of these events. And she just asked the question. All she said is, I wonder how different these stories would read if they had been covered, or if these stories had been written by Black journalists. And it was just a very, I thought, poignant, but important question, because so often our stories are served up by others. And so that's why I wondered, you know, how, again, your eye or what you bring to the table might be different in your, you know, in your estimation. How have your productions added, if you feel they have, to that whole filmmaking legacy that is about expanding and reconstructing what it means to be Black? So often I think our images are monolithic. And so there's one way to be Black, and that's what's presented. And it's served up again and again and again. And so how do you feel? I guess that's a tie into the question I just asked you in terms of what you're bringing that may be unique, but again, how it's expanded that legacy, that filmmaking legacy. So for those of you who are just tuning in, this is KGNU, and you're listening to Black Talk. Black Talk is a co-creation of the Boulder County NAACP and KGNU. And today we are talking to the visionary, to the filmmaker, to the magnificent, Katrina Miller.
Thank you so much. I feel like when Black people tell their own stories, we just have a lot more invested in it in order to not, we're not necessarily so worried about making everybody comfortable. We're more so motivated to just tell the truth. And that is what is authentic and really gets everybody engaged and changes the hearts and minds. You know, when you really, when you don't try to just skate over and make everything palatable, when you're okay with making people a little uncomfortable. We are big risk takers in telling our story. And it's something that I hope that more people will take on and take on more Black stories and more Black projects. I mean, there is so much content out there and there's so many diverse stories. I mean, another film that I just completed was called The Silence of Quarantine. And it follows the lives of two elderly Black women that live in Boulder during the COVID times. And I found out so much history about Boulder. I've lived here for 20 years and there's things that I never knew.
No, you and me both.
Right.
You and me both. It was surprising. I was stunned.
Right.
That's what I learned. Mm-hmm.
And it's, and it made me wonder how many other things like this are there here? How many other buildings like the Friends School or September School did Black people make so that they could have a place for community, you know? And I feel like I could spend the rest of my lifetime telling stories about the vibrant Black communities that have been made within Boulder, you know? And yeah, and that's what I wanna do. I wanna tell a lot of these stories because the more that I learn, the more offended I am when people tell me, oh, there's no Black people in Boulder. I just don't feel like people are listening or have their eyes open or paying attention, if that's really the feeling. There are very few of us, but we're here and we're making such an impact. And you can see that in the film of these two ladies that I followed and their legacy within Boulder County.
Right, right. Now, it's interesting when you talk about that discomfort, that risk taking. And when I think most especially about kind of leaning into or embracing discomfort, I think it's because we do. I mean, that's just part of our lives. And so our response to it is not that shock or, oh my gosh, you know, I need to kind of close ranks. We're very used to it. We're very used to living with discomfort. It is kind of a feature of being Black in America is being uncomfortable.
Which actually brings up a really interesting story. I'm not exactly sure where this is gonna go, but I remember when I was at CU in my undergrad, it was a race, gender class in the media course that I was taking, I was presenting about Black stereotypes in the media.
Okay.
And before my presentation, I'm like, I want to show you something. And I don't know if you remember the Spike Lee film, Bamboozled.
Yeah.
And there's a montage in there with a bunch of clips that show just these horrifying images of blackface and these cartoons. And I showed that. I showed like the 2 minutes or whatever of that before my class, and they were horrified. I was ready to get on about my speech and talk about, you know, what we saw and everything, and not really understanding that I might need to address some of those emotions that came up, or feelings that might've came up in the white students. Because I'm just like, oh, you don't know that? You know, this is a shock. You know, this is what it is. And even my professor at the time kind of took a break after my talk and talked for a long time about, you know, these were the images we saw, and you know, this is why a lot of people took those roles. If a Black person wanted to be an actor, well, this is what was there for them.
That's what was available.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we talked a lot more about those things, but you're absolutely right. You know, so that discomfort is something that, I think that's the day that I noticed that, okay, people are going to shift in their seats and perhaps have a hard time, with the rest of what I have to say, you know, if I hit them with the 1-2 right there, you know, so I'm learning to be honestly a little bit more subtle, or at least just ease into some of these harder things I want to talk about, but I'm going to talk about these harder things.
Oh yeah. No, which is wonderful, I think. Well, okay, Katrina, come on. We got to talk about this. This is not who we are. Let me repeat, people. If you haven't heard this, I don't know where you've been, but we got to talk about this is not who we are. There is so much buzz around your film. I knew the film before I met you. I mean, it was just being, again, sent from Black person to Black person to Black person to Black person. It was making the rounds. And it's absolutely, and you know this, I'm telling you what you know it is touching a nerve. You know it is. So can you tell us about just the inspiration for it? Because I got to tell you, just the trailer, have not seen the completed film. I think you told me that the plan is to complete the film sometime maybe over the summer.
Correct. Yes.
You know, I'm telling you right now, if all you released was the trailer, okay? And as I said, the trailer has been passed from Black hand to Black hand, yes, you know, computer to laptop to phone. Seriously, it has missed no devices. That alone has begun such an important and deep conversation. So talk to us about that. Because as I said, I would be remiss if I don't jump in there and have us talk about this is not who we are.
So it's interesting how This Is Not Who We Are came about, the whole production of it. You know, living in Boulder for 20 years, the subject matter in the film is something that has been on my mind a lot. And what it is this disassociative view that Boulder seems to have of itself, where a lot of times it sees itself as this very happy place, and it's been cited as that in many different sources, but you know, it's not. When you talk to people of color that live here, you will hear experience about police harassment. You will hear just from anybody really how difficult it is to find housing here. You know, we have a lot of issues here, and when you put the label on it that this place is so happy, people don't look at those problems, and they don't feel like they need to be aware of these problems, because it doesn't affect them. So what we're doing is saying, hey, look, you know, we have a lot of great things to offer, but happiest place, far from it. These are some things that we need to change to actually make this a happy place for all of the people that live in Boulder, because the people of color in Boulder are not necessarily that happy, okay? So we talked to Zaid Adkinson in our film, and he was assaulted by the police in front of his apartment, just picking up trash, minding his business, okay? How does that make anybody happy? we talk to Jamal, who owned a barbershop on Pearl Street, flourishing. It was just a vibrant, busy business that was important to the Black community, because we had a place not only to, you know, to go and to have community and to feel comfortable in our Black skin, but also to get our hair done, to take care of our basic hygiene, okay? And that's one of just our needs as human beings. And he got pushed out of his space so that a new wine bar could be placed there. And I don't really know if we needed a wine bar as much as we needed a place for Black people to feel comfortable, for Black people to take care of this basic need. I can walk down Pearl Street and see so many salons that I can't go to because they don't know my hair. I have honestly gone into salons and been laughed at, like, I can't do your hair. And I worked at a hair salon at the front desk for a little bit and had a conversation with a man that worked there. And he was really good, a really good hairstylist. And I asked him if he'd ever like to try to do my hair. He told me he had no interest in learning how to do African-American hair. It seemed just way too much trouble. And there's enough people in Boulder to keep him sustained by just doing white hair. So he's never had any interest or reason to do Black hair.
Right, so. Got it. Right. And having lived in Boulder, I think I had even shared with you my normalization story, going to a salon that had been vetted for Black women. Yeah. And the salon was primarily populated by white stylists, and having a white stylist tell me that she could make me look normal.
Normal, yeah, I remember you telling me that, normal. Yeah. What does that mean? And that's part of the problem, is this standard of normal, which often correlates with whiteness, and we get left out in it. And that happens a lot here in Boulder. So what I feel this buzz is about is, number one, people of color are happy about the representation, and non-white people, especially post George Floyd, are commenting that we're telling the truth. And they've lived here, you know, I've talked to people who've lived here for years, and they're happy to see that the truth is coming out. So I'm sorry.
No, absolutely. Well, Katrina Miller, thank you so much for joining us today on Black Talk. And again, folks, you've been listening to Black Talk, a co-creation of the Boulder County NAACP and KGNU. And as we like to do, we're going to post bonus content on the website. So Katrina and I are going to continue talking, and we hope you join us on the other side. Thank you again, and thanks, folks, for listening to Black Talk.
Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complication.
scheme. So keep